welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I am Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My first guest, naturopathic Dr. Judy Seeger, educates people about their health and empowers them to heal themselves in a very organic way. With more than 30 years in the field of alternative medicine, she is extraordinarily experienced at helping people achieve a greater level of wellness. Dr. Seeger was the director at River of Life Health Center, a holistic health clinic. As director, she has developed a two-step health plan system that increases health and quality of life for patients with skin, lung, breast, ovarian, prostate, liver, colon, brain, and pancreatic cancers. Dr. Seeger specializes in and offers nearly every clinically proven natural healing therapy, like hyperbaric oxygen therapy, ozone therapy, colon hydrotherapy, herbal therapy, and enzyme therapy. She's also authored two books, both of which are available exclusively in an electronic format. These books, The Ultimate Guide to Natural Cancer Cures and Shatter Your Gallstones, are insightful extensions of Dr. Seeger's knowledge base. Along with these books, she has created training videos, instructional CDs, conducted teleseminars, and webinars. A unique pioneer professional in the field of alternative medicine, Dr. Seeger's primary focus is on cancer. She has developed an easy-to-follow health plan that she shares with her patients. Her plan outlines exactly how to superboost the immune system to reverse the deadly disease. Her passion and inspiration came from her own family members who were afflicted with the disease. Even as a child, she knew there must be another way, and so she allots a great deal of her time to searching, traveling, and testing what alternative medicine works and what doesn't. Most recently, Dr. Seeger conducted extensive and groundbreaking herbal research in the Amazon rainforest. She also continually develops mass media outreach programs. Her cancer-winning radio show is a broadcast radio show during which she interviews former cancer patients who overcome their disease using alternative therapies. She also works on an online television show, Cancer Answers. In these online video segments, experts in the field of cancer research will share experience and advice with patients. More information is available at http://cancercleansecamp.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Dr. Judy, and I look forward to hearing about your work with cancer patients. Now first, why did you decide to become a naturopathic physician?
Well, Carl, first of all, thank you for letting me be on the show, and hopefully we'll get some people to understand the scope of what alternative medicine can do for people when they have been diagnosed with cancer. Back when I was 12 years old, I was taking care of my favorite uncle, my Uncle Lou, who had stomach cancer. And he was in a lot of pain. They gave him maybe 6 months to live or so. And I remember one day sitting there taking care of him when I was 12, and my aunt had gone out and my mom to pick up some groceries, and sitting there watching this man in pain and dying. And I really had this feeling of helplessness that, man, isn't there something that can be done to get him through the pain? And of course there was nothing, and it was a life-changing moment for me when I realized that the medical profession was not there to help everybody. And then later on down the road, I had family members die, friends die. I've been surrounded by a lot of people who have passed away, unfortunately. And that gave me the impetus, the revelation that, you know, there's got to be something else. And so when I was 19, I became a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I went to my first herbal conference, and my life changed. Mm. And I just kept going. I just said, that's it. I'm going to now keep going and learn more. until I could figure out what this alternative medicine stuff really can do for people. And of course, then the next 34 years was all about that, is learning and then watching people heal and seeing how powerful using alternative medicine really can be. That was very exciting.
Mm-hmm. Then, Dr. Judy, what proportion of your clients have cancer?
Well, right now, my specialty is working with people only who have cancer. When I first started out, I worked with people with all kinds of illnesses, everything from stomach ache all the way to heart disease and diabetes and cancer. And then over the years, I just kept getting this passion to help people just with cancer, and my practice switched over to working with them more. And now my clinics are, I had two clinics, and now I've closed them down and working strictly educating people through webinars, seminars, and teleclasses and writing and all that to get the word out, because what I've learned is this cancer has become an epidemic. One in three people now in the world have cancer or have the potential of getting it, and it has gotten totally out of hand. So my passion is to then say, well, what does it take to help them? Well, it's education. And that's, of course, why you and I are doing this, is to educate the people on what's out there and what their options are.
Great. Good. Now, Dr. Judy, is there a typical regime for cancer patients, or are they all too different to have anything that is a similar protocol for all?
No, it's very individualized as far as the different types of cancer, because, of course, if you do something with pancreatic cancer and using alternative therapies, it's an aggressive cancer, and you can't just be Mickey Mousing around saying, oh, yes, just do some juicing and you'll be fine. It doesn't work like that. There has to be more therapies that need to be done and very quickly to help them. And so it is very individual. And the type of food they have, the type of therapies really does make a difference. Now, what I have found is that there is a foundational program that everybody has to have, meaning that when they are diagnosed with cancer, whether they've already had chemo or radiation or not, everybody has a digestion issue, so that is very important to start with, making sure that they can digest and break their foods down. That could be done through supplements or through food, but they need to make sure that each and every nutrient that goes into their mouth is broken down, because cancer, of course, the number one way to rebuild the body is through the immune system. And the immune system needs nutrients. It needs proteins and carbohydrates and fats at each and every meal, and this is the problem I see a lot with people, is they don't have that. So that is where I start with. I say, okay, let's start with the foundational program, making sure they're digesting, making sure their elimination functions are working, they're having good bowel movements every day, they're having the water to drink to clear out their kidneys, and you know, all these different things are very important to do to give them the opportunity to heal. Then the next phase, of course, is then they could detox the poisons. Let's say if they've had chemo or radiation or have taken a lot of medication over the years, then they need to learn how to get rid of the poison. So the next step, of course, for everybody would be to learn how that takes. But it depends. If somebody comes in and they're very weak, then they cannot do a detox right away. They need to do something for their immune system. If they're strong, then I say, okay, then it's time to do a detoxification program with them first. So it is individualized, but they do need some basic groundwork at first so that their body has the tools that it needs to recover.
There are a couple things that I did that had to do with the GI tract. One was to avoid protein, and another was to have a diet that was primarily raw fruit and vegetables. Do you advocate these? And the other thing that I had, I think, was the pancreatic enzymes. Are these pretty much protocol for all patients or not?
I think it varies, again, depending on the type of cancer and what they're going through and how much they're able to digest and absorb. I think that the food, that's a really big issue right now in alternative medicine world. Some people say just raw foods will heal all types of cancer. And then there's another camp that is saying, No, raw food is not the only thing. You need to eat some fish and meat and have some more protein. So it depends. Now, I really go according to the person. I think it is individualized at that point. And I say, well, let's sit down and figure out what's needed. If the person has had a raw food diet for the last 5 years and they're feeling hungry, they're losing a lot of weight, they're having trouble with their energy, I then say, you know, maybe you need to have a little bit more protein. You need to have a little bit more in your diet. But it, again, it depends. Now, a lot of times they come in and they have been taking supplements. Just about everybody has taken tons of supplements, as you well know. It's just like everybody thinks that there's going to be a supplement out there that will really help them. And they say they're not looking for the magic bullet, but I think the magic bullet is really what they're looking for. It's like, oh, wouldn't it be great if we had it in one bottle? So the enzyme that you mentioned, the pancreatic enzyme, is very good for a lot of different cancers. I do recommend that many times. Serrapeptase, protease, these are all enzymes that break down in the system so that the body could really uptake what is needed and get it to the cell so that it breaks down those cells that is protecting the cancer cells, the tumor. And so when the enzymes come in and break down, it makes it so that the body can then really dissipate it or make it disappear and break it down to a point where it can flush it out through one of the elimination systems. So it works well, but again, that kind of stuff needs to be with working with somebody else. I'm not sure, Carl, if you had worked with somebody on it, but that really helps a lot if you have somebody who's already experienced and is able to walk them through how much enzymes, what kind of enzymes for the different types of cancer.
Right. You mentioned the diet, and I am seeing on Facebook recently that some people are advocating a diet that is very high in protein. I can't remember what it's called, but at years back, I remember from my hospital experience that we always tried to keep a patient away from the condition that this creates. What do you think about this diet, or do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, there is, like I say, there's a lot of people who go from one end of the scale to the other. Either they do raw food and avoid all animal protein, and there's the ones that believe, like, for example, Weston Price program, they believe in dairy and meat and cheese and all that stuff. And I think that we are a nation of having a lot of proteins, a lot of meat at each and every meal. And so that does need to be cut back. I believe that it is very difficult to digest, especially when you're first diagnosed with cancer. It is a hard food to digest. And I think the other problem is that people need to be aware of is what they're putting into the meat. The hormones that are getting injected now to the meats and then the different dyes they put in to make it look good on the shelf the meat section in the grocery stores has gotten to a point where the meat is really not the meat that you think you're eating. And of course, then you go back, in fact, to the cows and how they're getting fed their grains and all the chemicals and and pesticides and hormones that are getting into the feed. So everything gets affected. And cancer, of course, is very hormonal sensitive. And so when you're eating the meat that has these chemicals and hormones shot into it, it causes a major imbalance. So with that being said, many times I tell people if you are at that point that they could handle the meat and take some amount of meat into their program, then to have the meat that's grass-fed. And these are cows that are out there in the pastures. They're eating grass like they're supposed to, and it is not any grass that's been sprayed or any feed that's been sprayed. So the food, actually, the meat that they're getting from there, the food is a pure form of protein. But again, it's a heavy food to digest. And for people with cancer, to have it three times a day, 7 days a week, is way too much. Having it once or twice a week, maybe for certain cancers, maybe in the early stages or depending on the type of cancer, maybe they could handle it. Usually I recommend the chicken, the organic chicken, which is easier to digest, or fish. Fish that's wild caught is much easier to handle than many other types of food. And, of course, many people advocate salmon. I don't. I think salmon sometimes is a difficult food to digest for people as well. Mm-hmm. I think the lighter fish, the cod, the tilapia, the flounder, are much easier to digest. Salmon is a heavy fat fish that, again, is not good for many types of cancer, so you have to be careful with it. Even though I know the media is really pushing it, saying that salmon is good to have, I'm like, well, I see it with some people, but not with everybody, and right. I'm a little bit cautious then of that.
Mm-hmm. The diet I was trying to think of was ketosis diet.
Okay.
And
yeah.
When I was back working in the hospital years ago, you tried to avoid that with patients. I think it was because of the problems with the kidneys, if I remember right. It's been so long because I've been in public health so many years. But the other problem I would wonder about with a high meat diet would be the body balance becoming very acidic. Is that not correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. With cancer, you want to have a more alkaline environment. Mm-hmm. Although there are times when people get cancer and it's because they are too, they could be either one. They could be too alkaline or too acidic. So you kind of have to be careful there. But yes, normally if you're eating a lot of meat or processed foods or having food that is difficult to digest, it could become very acidic, and cancer does like to live in that environment. And then that's the problem. So you need to switch over to a more alkaline diet, which means eating a lot more vegetables, having some fruit. I mean, of course, you can't have a lot of fruit because it's too much natural sugar that, again, makes the body more acidic. Now, mm-hmm. I do recommend the berries like strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, blackberries. Those are all good. Mm-hmm. But some of the other fruit, a little bit high in sugar. So you're right, Carl. The meats are, you have to be careful. And the one that is the least problematic is really the fish. Mm-hmm. That is mm-hmm. the one that seems to be the easiest for people to break down, doesn't seem to cause problems when they do have cancer, and they still get some amount of protein, but it's an easy-to-digest type of protein.
Mm-hmm. Now, Dr. Judy, how do people know that these alternative therapies really work?
Well, it really comes down to how do people view alternative therapy when they first start with it. And the challenge is they don't, mm-hmm. because there's no double-blind studies. There's no, a lot of anecdotal evidence that goes on, but people really don't know. And that becomes a really big point of contention because they're like, well, look, conventional medicine has all these studies and proof that their program works. Mm-hmm. And what does alternative medicine have? Well, I have worked with thousands of people over the last 34 years, and I've seen it work with a huge amount of success rate. I have the radio show as well and an online TV show, and all those people are saying that it works. So it comes down to what I tell people. I says, look, do your research. Look to see what's out there. Read the books. Find out what fits right and say, look, if the chemo, radiation, and surgery has not worked, and you're saying, I need to look at something else, then I tell people, give it a trial period of about 30 days or
so
and see what kind of improvement. And they say, well, how do I test to see which way the improvement is? And the best way to do that is to have some blood work done, have a CBC or liver enzymes, and you could even have cancer antigen tests. It's very easy to do, and mark to see how things are going. But really, most people that I speak with when they have decided to go on alternative therapies is because the traditional route has not worked for them. Their cancer has gotten worse, and they're worried, and they want to do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the question they ask is, well, which therapies do they use then? And that's where you really have to sit down and do your homework, do your research. And so the people have to look at and say, okay, I feel like I need to change my diet. I need to maybe take some supplements. I maybe need to do some therapies to detox my system. Okay, that's a very basic, simple way to start.
Mm-hmm.
And people could do that and look and say, okay, I'm going to do this every day. I'm going to create a plan, and I'm going to do it for the next 30 days, and I'm going to see how I feel. And 9 times out of 10, the people actually feel much better. They have more energy. They start sleeping better. Their pain goes down. And I'm like, well, there you are. So you're moving in a positive direction. Mm-hmm. And then it's just a matter of going forward on that. But the challenge, of course, Carl, as you well mm-hmm. know, with alternative therapies, is there's so many out there. Which
right,
one
right.
choose? Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you chose yours, but you have to kind of find somebody that could walk you through it mm-hmm. and show you and say, well, this is the advantage and disadvantage of this therapy. This is the pros and cons of that therapy, and kind of walk them down the path and give them some options, because there are so many different therapies that they can use. And then it comes down to, they say, well, okay, now I got an idea. Now I'm going to use these therapies. And when I ask people, because I ask the same questions mm-hmm. to my mm-hmm. clients, I said, which therapies did you decide to use and why? And they said, I just felt like this was the right way to go. I mm-hmm. felt like the food was important. I felt like the detox part was important. And I just felt that was right. And I said, yeah, well, that's it then. Then that's what you have to go with. Mm-hmm. Not based on fear, but based on fact of what people feel is right for them. And that's really the way you want to go, not because you're afraid that if you don't do something, you're not going to overcome the cancer, but because you base it on what you feel is right for you. That's a very important concept.
Right. A couple questions come to mind, Dr. Judy. One is, do people expect a very quick response because of their reliance previously on drugs? Or do they realize that the alternatives may take a little bit longer?
No, everybody, unfortunately, really wants a quick turnaround. In 7 days, they all want mm-hmm. something to happen so that they see that their cancer is getting better. Mm-hmm. Now, when I had my clinic, I did see that in 7 days, but I was very, very aggressive. I was working with them from day from mm-hmm. the beginning of the day to the end of the day. Mm-hmm. We were juicing. We were doing colonics. We were doing supplements. We were doing everything. I mean, a mm-hmm. lot of things, every hour on the hour. So they did see results. But now, when they are at home and they're working on these programs, they want, of course, everybody wants to see quick turnaround. And usually what I tell people, I says, well, in 30 days of doing this at home, you can see that you're going to see some kind of improvement. Mm-hmm. You're going to either have your pain reduced, you're going to have your energy increased, you're going to have a better appetite. All these things will add up and they will see it. But really what happens, though, is they really do want it much quicker. And mm-hmm. unfortunately, cancer, especially when it's in the stage, normally when I see them, which is the third and fourth stage, mm-hmm. it's taken its toll on their body. And it takes a long time to rebuild the immune system. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the question is, how long does it take to rebuild the immune system, which then can fight the cancer cells? And that really is a God question. I mean, I don't know. I just know from experience watching people, it usually takes a good 3 to 6 months mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. hard work working with this alternative therapy stuff for them to really see a noticeable improvement, that the tumors are reducing, that they're feeling better, that their energy is back. It really does take that long. It's not a quick fix that within a week or so, they're going to have things happen to them. So that's the realistic mm-hmm. answer, Carl, and I mm-hmm. hope people mm-hmm. understand that. Yeah.
The other question that came up when you were talking is, I have seen recently information about a urine test. I think it's called the Navarro urine mm-hmm. test that is supposedly determines if you have cancer cells in your body and could be used for cancer recovery. What do you think of this test, and do you use it?
Well, I've not put my name on that one because I don't really see it as being a super accurate marker. Mm-hmm. My associates and I have chatted about that quite a bit. There's the Navarro, there's the HCG, there's a few tests out there, but in the alternative medicine world, realistically, we don't really have a good cancer marker. We mm-hmm. just don't. Mm-hmm. And for people to think that we do, it's really a misnomer. That's where they have to use their doctors and having blood tests. Although now, of course, there's lab tests that they could go to, walk in their independent laboratories, and they could get their blood tests done, cancer markers done, and they don't have to go through their doctors. But really, the medical world has a handle on that. whereas alternative therapies in the alternative medicine world, we don't. And so I think that I've been watching the Navarro test for the last few years. I know lots of people who use it, and they will say, well, I see that my markers are getting better, but I don't see their symptoms getting better. And then when I have them go do either a blood test or a cancer antigen test or even thermography, I don't see the difference. I don't see them getting better. So that's misleading, and that would be worrisome to me. You know, I don't want to use things that would be misleading to people, thinking that they're getting better when they're not, or the other way, that they're getting worse when they're not. So you could go both ways. So, yes, it's very inexpensive. That's usually why people do it. I don't know how much it is, but it's really not that expensive. But it's not the most accurate test out there, so people have to be aware of that.
Great. Good. Thank you. Then you use a cancer cleansing program. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I have created over the years a complete cancer cleansing detox type of program that covers all the bases. You know, we have how many elimination channels? We have the colon, the kidneys, the lungs, the skin, the liver helps to get rid of poisons as well. And so people have often said, well, I don't really know where to start or how to start or which organ to do first and all that. So I put together a whole package. And I have shown people through videos, because writing it was just way too much. After 34 years, I said, no, I'll do the videos. It's much easier. And people like that because they're like, oh, now I see how you do this dry skin brushing. Oh, now I see how you have to do the liver flush. Oh, now, you know, picture's worth a thousand words, as you know, because you're an artist. And so I feel that by putting together the video package, it has shown them what they could do to do the detoxing, cleansing process all together and in the right order for their specific types of cancer. So I put a package together, but normally when people call me, I work with them depending on their types of cancer. And in this package, I only dealt with 10 specific cancers just because those were the ones that were the most common. And break it down to not only detoxing the organs, that the elimination organs, and detoxing the system overall through foods and juicing and therapies, but also the emotional, spiritual part. And I know you feel strongly about this, like I do, Carl, that this is a very important part that people don't address when they have negativity in their life, when they have negativity in their work, in their relationship, in the city they live in. This all adds up to stress. And that stress makes their body more acid, which we just said causes more problems, of course, with the cancer. So I put that all in there. When I work with people or when I have this package, doesn't matter. Either way, I say, look, you have to have the full program in order to really clean your body out and allow your body to heal. And so by having all these different avenues, it gives the person a great perspective of what's all needed, because they think, many times they call me and say, oh, I'll just take a few supplements to clean out my liver and my colon and I'm good to go. And they just go down to their health food store and pick up these cleanses. And those are fine for people who don't have cancer, who are just looking for a general cleanse, but it is not strong enough when you have cancer. It's just not. They have to have something much more comprehensive, much more aggressive. So that's a very important part of the understanding what it takes. You can't just take a few herbs. You really have to look at the whole picture. It's not complicated. It's actually not, but they really do need to know the tools and the step-by-step progression of how to do it correctly.
Then could you give us a case? People love case studies. Could you give us a case study of someone that you worked with that had successful outcome and what types of things they did?
Well, that's a whole show in itself. We could go all day on that one. Yeah, and I do. But here's the part I want everybody to understand, is my part in this is the cleansing detox part. And many times they have done other things. They've either done chemo radiation or they've done other alternative therapies. And then when they do my part, they're cleaning out the chemo and radiation and detoxing emotionally. And then they go on and then they continue with other programs to heal. So in my part, though, when they work, I have tons of stories from my clinic days, but that was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll share with you some people that I work with now, mm-hmm. where I do consultations. Mm-hmm. One woman, she was 51 years old, and she had lung cancer. And she had been trying to do many different things for that. She had done some chemo already. And she was to the point where she was really wheezing and worried that it was getting more serious. So we did a detox program with her where we started giving her lungs a ton of minerals. And you think, why would you give the lungs a ton of minerals? It's because the lungs, out of all the organs in the body, need the most amount of minerals, either through juicing, supplements, the food, to get it back to a healing mode. So we did that, and she was faithful. She did it from morning till night. She juiced, she did the food, she put different things on her chest to get the lungs stimulated using castor oil packs and whatnot. And the first week, she immediately said, I can't believe how much better, and you could hear it in her voice. Mm-hmm. She said, I can't feel mm-hmm. better, I'm not wheezing as much. And she had more energy. And then the second and third week, she actually started coughing up things that were having, I don't want to get real graphic,
mm-hmm.
but she had been a smoker many years ago. And she said, but I haven't smoked in 20 years. I'm like, yeah, but as it was coming out, sure enough, there's some black things in there. And you think, wow, 20 years she hadn't smoked.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not living in the city. She was living outside the city, actually in a part of the countryside that there was hardly any pollution. So it wasn't that. It was stuff that had mm-hmm. been in there mm-hmm. for a long time. So she coughed it up. She says, my goodness, am I going to stop coughing this stuff up? I says, when the body is done, it will stop coughing it up. She got rid of it, though. And then the next month or two, we checked in with each other, see how she was doing. Because, of course, like I said, she was doing some other programs to then keep building up her immune system. And she was doing great. She did a fantastic job. She got rid of the junk. And that was really the whole root of the matter, is getting rid of that. And here was the interesting part. She had a family issue with one of her children. Her children had grown.
Mm-hmm.
And when she dealt with that, that's when the rest mm-hmm. of the tightness in her lungs mm-hmm. let go. And that's when she really started healing. And that was a couple months afterwards. Like I say, she mm-hmm. she took my advice and got a cancer coach and had somebody help her walk through all these different things. And she ended up actually letting it go. And that was when the healing process, mm-hmm. and 6 months later, she was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, wow, there we are. See, so it was, like I say, it was a comprehensive program where when she saw what it took, not only the physical part, but the emotional
mm-hmm.
part,
mm-hmm.
that's when the true healing came about.
Right. Great. Good. Then do you have parting words before we look at your website and how people can reach you and services, mm-hmm. products, and if you have a book, I don't remember, but
yeah,
parting
I'll share,
words.
I'll share with them. Sure. Yeah, the most important, the last few words that I always like to leave with people is that you have to put the positive thoughts in your mind that you can heal.
Mm-hmm.
So many times when you've been going to doctors, you hear, oh, you're going to die in 3 to 6 months, and this is what you have to do to live a little bit longer. Well, who wants to do that, live a few
right.
more months
right.
or a year? No.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in your mind that you can heal, that there's answers out there, and then write it down and put it on your walls, put it on your computer, put it on your mirrors, that you can make the change. You can have your immune system build up to a point where it could reverse this cancer, and say it out loud
mm-hmm.
every day, all day long. That is the most important thing you could possibly do. And if there's a blockage there of somebody keeping you from doing that, whether it's a spouse or whether it's somebody who you're working with, you have to step back from them and surround yourself with positive people.
Mm-hmm.
So having that positive energy and feeling good about yourself is so crucial when you have cancer, Carl. And I know you understand
right,
the importance
right.
of that. And when people say it and believe it, that's when the change happens, because the cells turn to a more alkaline state, the stress goes down, and the body starts to rebuild and repair itself. But they have to believe it, and the way to do that is to say it and see it every single day with those words. It makes a huge, huge difference.
That's great. Now, Dr. Judy, will you tell us about your services, products, books, and how
Absolutely.
Listeners can reach you.
Sure. Well, the best thing to do for everybody is they could go to my website, which is www.cancercleansecamp.com. That's cancercleansecamp.com. And if they put their name and email on there, then right away they'll be able to get my newsletter and be in touch with me. And then on that website, there's also a way to contact me. And if they would like a consultation, I do consultations with people, either 30 minutes, an hour, or even a seven-day one-on-one program where I show people what they could do to rebuild their immune system and to detox any poisons that are in their body. And so that's all on that website. It's very easy to get to, and they could see all the articles I have. I have videos on there and everything. I don't have a book specifically yet, Carl. Mm-hmm. I have a couple that are getting worked on, mm-hmm. and we'll get that up and running here shortly. But, great. You know, just getting in touch with me if they want to, they can mm-hmm. go to that website.
Great. Well, I thank you very much, Dr. Judy. It's been interesting, and I know it will be helpful to listeners that are searching for information on alternative interventions. So I thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Carl. I appreciate you having me on here. We've made a great connection when you were on my radio show, and I appreciate that as well.
Good. Thank you. Denise Marie, publisher of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com, has brought us another great magazine, the spring 2013 issue, that is filled with inspirational stories and music, as well as information on social, health, and life issues. Because of my years working with homeless populations, I was immediately drawn to the story and trailer on Homeless to Hollywood that tells of a girl with a dream of being an artist who was also homeless and afraid of telling her classmates because she thought they would make fun of her. She and her family moved from shelter to shelter over 30 times, but she continued her dreams and painting to become an artist. The recent documentary in her name won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Short Film. Another human interest story is about Tim Harris, a restaurant owner who gives out hugs to all customers. Tim, who has Down syndrome, lives a productive life and talks about his life, marriage, and future. Two musical segments were memorable for me. One was the story and music video of Sister Rosetta Thorpe, the godmother of rock and roll, who performed in the 30s and 40s. This great music brought back memories of visits to the jazz and rock and roll clubs when I lived in New York City in the 50s. The second segment was a video by Josh Groban singing his new song, Brave. He has sold over 25 million albums, and many of us know him and his music. Social issues, including the fracking potential in New York State, the FDA approval of aspartame as a hidden, unlabeled additive in milk and other dairy products, the harmful effects of the microwave, the dangers of five chemical companies taking control of our seeds and its influence on food safety and diversity, and stopping violence against women with February 14, 2013, the V-Day to involve 1 million women and those who love them to walk out, dance, rise up, and demand and end violence. As the new Healthy Living editor, I wrote an article on holistic approaches to preventing and treating wrinkles without surgery, and also interviewed Dr. Fred Pescatore on natural ways to deal with seasonal allergies. Last were articles on Ann Richards, the 45th governor of Texas, and the new one-woman Broadway show on her life, and another story about her daughter, Cecile Richards, who has been a strong advocate for women and involved in issues ranging from Roe versus Wade to more recently joining Planned Parenthood as president. With these and other stories, you won't want to miss this issue of A Distinctive Style magazine at www.adistinctivestyle.com. My second guest, Jan Jargon, says the path of my educational evolution has a pre-veterinarian foundation. This trajectory transitioned to human medicine after interests were expanded from being a rancher's daughter to a volunteer fireman and receiving my emergency medical technician basic training. The emergency medical field fostered my journey toward producing my current research as a medical anthropologist. Attained degrees include Associate of Applied Science, Mobile Intensive Care Technician, Paramedic, and a double bachelor's of anthropology, cultural, medical focus, and art. Integration of these polar fields seems unlikely, yet it is essential to my research, completing my PhD in naturopathic doctor. Becoming an author and entering the realm of public speaking, I have completed 25 graduate credit courses. I am currently seeking a PhD ND program that will foster and facilitate my learning, tempering my writing and education to best advocate a healthier future for all. More information is available at justjanuaryjargon.com. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Jan, and I look forward to hearing about the cancer experiences in your family and how they shaped your future. Now, first, Jan, would you tell us about your cancer experience and that of your mother?
Well, thank you, Carl, for the lovely welcome, and I would be glad to. My experience happened at a very young and tender age when we don't really, you don't know who you are when you're 20, unless you're 20 and you think you know who you are. I was actually married to a guy in the military, so I was going through the medical system of the military, and I developed very large lymph nodes all over my body, but especially in my groin area and my armpits. I was told that I had a lymphatic cancer, and I was a varsity, and I still am. I do a lot of sports. I'm very, very active. I do yoga an hour every day still, but at that stage in my life, I was running track and playing basketball and playing softball. I couldn't get up a flight of stairs at college without having to sit down and be winded. And I had all those these little white bumps on my back that just itched horribly. And my roommate at the time, because my husband was stationed away from me while I was going to school, she would scratch my back, and she would just get, she was like, Jen, I can't scratch your back anymore. I'm like, but it itches, please scratch it. She's like, it's going to bleed. So those were my symptoms. I just had extreme fatigue. I had these little white bumps that actually looked like a pimple, but they weren't because they didn't produce anything. And then I had huge, huge lymph nodes. And also at the time I was a lifeguard, and my symptoms progressed, and I discontinued school for a semester. But that summer, I had a job, and at that point in time, I needed my job, and my job was as a lifeguard. So I was exposed to extreme amounts of vitamin D, and by the time the doctors did the biopsy and all the other tests, they were very confused because they didn't understand what had happened to me. And I didn't understand either. I just thought that they had made a mistake and that, you know, that was a horrible 11-ish months of my life and that I was over it. And I continued on through college and my education and my life and didn't think much more about it until my mother was diagnosed. 10 years later, my mother was diagnosed with breast cancer, and she was diagnosed with DCIS, which in the studies that are coming out today and the information that I am reading, it's more accurately termed a precancer than a cancer. But 10 years ago, they were more aggressive with it. They did a biopsy. They pulled it all out. Her lymph glands, luckily, were clean. But she she did go through some radiation. And at that point in time, I was in the middle of schooling and doing my clinical rotations and studying medicine as a paramedic. And I really started engaging in cancer. And I went through sort of the opposite with my mother. I started reading oncology books and started understanding everything and applying everything in various ways, even in my professional life as a paramedic, and just really became disenchanted with chemotherapy and radiation. And I encouraged my mother not to do chemotherapy or radiation with her breast cancer, but the rest of my family is all farmers and ranchers, and I was outnumbered. That's what really projected me into my education that I am in the midst of now, which is working on a PhD in medical anthropology, to understand all of the little events that culminate into cancer. We don't get cancer generally overnight. There are a few that are incredibly aggressive that do work that way, but most of them are a culmination of exposures and toxins and experiences that lead to cancer. So my mother's first bout with cancer went very well because it was a couple of millimeters large. She did the radiation, and we thought everything was fine. In 2006, she was diagnosed with colon cancer that was much more advanced. And in all of my studying and my work, I feel that the radiation that my mother received from the breast cancer, and there is a study out from UCLA that shows that cancer is very similar to any other bug. When you take antibiotics, if you don't take the full course of antibiotics, some bugs still live and they get stronger. Cancer is very similar. So my mother's cancer came back more aggressively in 2006 as colon cancer. And we went down and met with a Dr. Brzezinski in Texas, who I greatly adore. He's a wonderful little Polish man, and I've blogged and talked about him. And he did wonderful things with my mother. He taught us about nutrition and about treating my entire mother and not just this one little spot. And because we met with a nutrition, she met with a psychologist, she met with his team of oncologists, and it was a daily thing. We were there for a month, and every day we would go and have an appointment with a doctor, and not a 5-minute appointment. Most of the time they were half an hour to an hour, and then she would meet with a nutritionist, and they would explain to us, you know, why you need to eat broccoli, and the studies are showing that very aggressively now, you know, that broccoli has this enzyme that attacks cancer that's just wonderful, and why you should eat other certain things, and why curcumin is good for you, and why resveratrol, the red wine extract, works, and all of these foods that need to be eaten to give your body the sustenance, or as I call them, the tools that it needs to heal itself, because your body will and can heal itself if you give it the proper tools.
So your mother's experience and your experience have influenced you to then work toward a PhD in anthropology and nutrition. And
yes,
how will this then help you meet your goals for helping people?
Yes, I have clients now. Right now I have 2 stage 4 lung cancer patients. The one was sent home pretty much on hospice. They hadn't made that complete designation yet. And he had family members who found me. And I went and did a consultation with this man. I'm 42. This man's the same age as me. He's never smoked a day in his life. And he's just entirely too young to be sitting in a recliner gasping for breath. And when I met him, he was on oxygen. He still is on oxygen supplementation and just had a hard time breathing, constantly coughing. And he had a productive cough, so he had cups strategically placed so he wouldn't project what he was coughing up all over the house. I went to his house, and I do a lot of different things. I look in their refrigerator. I look in their bathroom. I explain to them why certain soaps carry certain things, like estrogen mimickers or BPA. And these things are being correlated to cancer. So I go through all those things in their house and explain to them in a way that they can understand.
For the listeners, let's stop and say that the BPA is, as I understand it, the plastic and also the lining in canned foods.
Yes.
That allows the food to last for a long time. Some of the listeners
yes.
may not know this, and that some of the problems with the plastic is if you buy the plastic water bottles, that
yes.
when they're transported in hot weather, that
yes.
the plastic melts into the water.
Yes.
An example so that the listeners would know what we were talking about if they
right.
didn't know what BPA
right.
was. Okay, go
and
ahead.
And California actually just added BPA, which is the chemical in plastic that leaches into your food and into the water that you're drinking. And but California has added it to its list of carcinogens, which is a cancer-causing agent.
Mm-hmm.
So
good.
Mm-hmm. Those are the things that I do as a medical anthropologist. I look at the whole forest. I don't pick one tree or one bug. I go through their entire house and gently explain, you know, why they want to cut down on their plastic use, why they want to cut down on their canned food use. Most commercial soaps have estrogen mimickers in them, and you will hear this referred to in multiple different ways. One way is an endocrine disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
I like to call them estrogen mimickers because everyone understands what estrogen is, and that's really what they're doing. And I will go through those things, and I basically try to teach people that what you rub on your skin, you're eating because
mm-hmm.
it ends up in your blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to point out the things that are possible carcinogens that they may be rubbing into their skin or that they may be inhaling. Or, you know, because even air fresheners that you plug into the wall, they seem wonderful. They're putting off those fantastic fragrances. They're petroleum-based. Petroleum goes in your car, not in your lungs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like a lot of the lip glosses and things have petroleum or parabens in them. Those are very similar. I think 98% of all breast cancer, they're finding parabens in the tumors,
mm-hmm.
according to research that I am currently reading. So those are the types of things I try to minimize with my clients. And then I put them on high-quality nutrition. And then I also encourage them to do things like become members of a local food co-op if they don't grow their own garden. So I try to attack cancer from almost every angle, and I try to give my clients all of the options that I know of to create an informed client.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. I did want to mention, too, that it extends even into your mouth and on your head because people put some of these products on their head and
yes,
people take the fluoride in their toothpaste.
Yes.
Can be very damaging.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, I have a water distiller that I drink from. You know, so I talk about the importance of drinking good water,
mm-hmm.
detoxification, the importance of fruits and vegetables, and the importance of avoiding fast food type items.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, Jan, would you give us your website and how listeners can reach you?
Okay. You can find me at JustJanuaries. My name is January. JustJanuariesJargon.com. And if you'd like to email me, it's just that easy. You go, it's Jan@JustJanuariesJargon.com. I'm Jan Jargon on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I also have a WordPress blog. So I'm a little bit everywhere, and I'm working on my PhD, and consultations with me are not charged. I do not charge for consultations. I don't feel that that's appropriate. I help you get to the road to health, and if you follow me on Facebook, you will learn quite quickly what I'm getting at. I share the studies that I read every day, and I read 4 to 6 hours a day, and I share those things on Facebook. So,
great.
And Twitter.
Great. I thank you very much, Jan. This has been interesting and helpful, and I thank you for all you do with patients.
Thank you, Carl. I know that you are an amazing example for all of us, and we greatly appreciate you also and everything that you are doing to promote wellness and health. And as I believe you said, to be able to enjoy your retired years, although I don't think you're retired.
Well, I'm retired from doing things that I didn't like to do too well, to doing things that I like very much.
Yes.
So that's almost
very
like
important.
Retirement, right?
Yes.
Great.
Yes, when you love what you do, it makes it so much easier.
Right.
And I do love what I do.
Thank you, Jan. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show. I invite you to my websites, www.holistichealthshow.com, and also www.beatlungcancer.net. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host, wishing you a great week.